the last part. Let's just do the last three times. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Here's the last one.
I'm in the middle of retuning right now. I was gonna, but Dave changed the key, so I didn't bother.
I didn't change the key.
Yeah, you did.
What?
The Bible, he said. The Bible said it.
You should get up here and preach, man. Callie, get up here. Come on, man. That was inspiring to me.
Good morning. How are you? Practices.
Let's go. One, two, three. was through. The sense when it's possible.
I come in at just as the stone that was rolled. That's where the girl comes in.
Yeah.
is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise making dead men walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Oh, are we stopping? Okay.
Shame is a prison. Come on. It's cruel as a Deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? You're doing good, right? Won't you stand up with me this morning as we get ready to begin? We get ready to worship here this morning. I would like to read here Psalm 92 from the Passion Bible, verse 1. It says, "It's so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted over all. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. And as the sun sets and all through the day." I want to encourage you this morning to you know, David made this statement, King David. He said, "I will bless the Lord. All that is within me, I will bless His holy name." You know, you've got to make that decision today. I'm going to bless the Lord today. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to let those uncontainable praises come spilling out of my heart. Because how many of you know that Jesus is worthy? He deserves our praise. He is worth our praise. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning, church, put your hands together, sing with us. The first song is called "Ain't No Grave." Aren't you so glad that Jesus is coming back? And the Bible says we're going to meet Him in the clouds. We're going to be transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds. Ain't no grave going to hold us down. And so sing with us today. Give God praise today, because as you do, His presence is going to fill this place and overwhelm you today, the presence of the Lord. Lord, we worship you today. We come to magnify you today. We thank you that you inhabit our praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing together. There ain't no grave going to hold us down.
Singing it with me. Sound. Well, he went down to hell and he took back every key. He rose up as a lion and he said, oh, help me scream him into the grave. Oh, it's gonna hold his body down. There ain't no
If you walk out of the grave,
rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. Everyone, with me. I hear the sound. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound. I hear the sound. Yeah. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
Amen.
like a river, wash over me, immerse me in water as deep as the sea. Hide me in your love, your healing embrace. Peace like a river, wash over me. As I worship your majesty, I worship your holy name. Jesus, my everything, all that I am is yours. Come, Holy Spirit, rain down on. Open the heavens and drench the unseen. Pour out your presence as I pour out your praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, have your way. As I worship your majesty, worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that I am is yours. I worship your majesty. I worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. you do it again. Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. Move up your spirit. Heaven, break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Heaven, break out.
Lord, send revival. That's heaven, our prayer this morning. Amen. Do you agree with us, church? Lord, we pray that you send revival across this land, that heaven would break out. Lord, you've done it before. We pray that you would do it again. Can you say amen, church? Lord, send revival. Cover the land. This is a time where we want to pray for you. Thank God, our God is the only true and living God who hears and who answers prayer. Our God is the only God who hears and who answers prayer. Our God is the only miracle-working God that there is. There's no name beside the name of Jesus, the Bible says. His name, he has been exalted above every other name. And we want to pray right now for you, because you know why? There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. I'm so excited to hear about the fact Pam was telling me about an event that's taking place on September 26th called The Return. And it's a prayer meeting that's taking place in Washington, D.C. And there's going to be thousands of believers from all over the nation that are going to go to Washington, D.C. and pray. You know, I've been had it in my heart for such a long time. Since this whole thing started, this whole pandemic, I've been wondering, man, how come the Christians aren't out there gathering in public places praying that God would move in our land? I've been wondering that. We got people protesting injustices, but the Church of Jesus Christ, I've been wondering, when is the church going to rise up and pray for this nation? And I'm not saying that, I know people are praying, I'm not saying that no one's been praying, but I'm talking about in a public way. That's what I'm talking about. So we're going to be supporting that, The Return. And I've contacted them, and I've actually asked if we can, what do they call it, live stream the event here on Saturday 26th of September. Is going to be a time of prayer and repentance and called The Return. How many of you believe that the solution for America is to return, repent, and let God restore? Return, repent, and let God restore. That's the solution for America. And so we're praying right now, Father, we pray for America, not just America, but we pray for every country around the world that you would move by your Spirit, that you would send a revival, Lord, that you would bring restoration, that your healing power would be manifested. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing, we pray for restoration, we pray for revival, we pray for peace, we pray for unity. And Father, I pray for everyone who's watching this who's watching this service today, wherever they may be. Father, whatever their need may be, I thank you that there's no distance in prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you are right there with them right now. And Father, I pray and I ask you to meet every need in their life. I ask you to heal them in their body. I ask you to deliver them from any kind of oppression or bondage. I ask you to provide every financial need in their life. Father, I ask and I pray that you would release blessings in their life, Lord. Blessings that you have stored up for them. I pray that those blessings would be released. I thank you right now for peace that flows. I thank you for joy, for filling people with joy and with peace and healing and delivering and restoring and providing and protecting. In the name of Jesus, we agree. And Lord, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory and the honor. And if you're watching this today, just receive that. Say, thank you, Lord. I thank you. I've received my healing. I thank you for providing every need in my life. I thank you, Lord, for filling me with peace and joy. And if you hear that today in the service live, we want to pray for you. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come forward right now. These people, they know how to pray. They're anointed to pray. If you need prayer today, please don't be shy. You may even be a first-time guest today, but let me tell you, you didn't come here by any accident today. And if you say, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord to help me. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. I need God's help. Listen, the Lord wants to help you. But the Bible says the reason you don't have is because you don't ask from God. Ask and you will receive. So I want the prayer partners, come on right now. Come and stand here. If you need prayer, come forward. We're going to pray for you for healing, for freedom, for provision, for protection, for wisdom, for direction, for peace, for joy. Whatever it is that you need, come right now. And we're going to sing this final song, and it's called Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to worship with us today. Because let me tell you, the presence of the Lord is here today. The Spirit of the living God is here today. He's in our midst. And if you'll just surrender yourself unto Him, and if you'll just lift your hands and lift your voice and begin to worship God, you will sense the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit will touch you today, and He will change you today, and He will fill you today. Amen, somebody. Amen. Come on, let's sing it. Let's worship Him. There's nothing worth more.
Sing it with me. You know the song.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope.
Yes, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen. Come on, sing it out.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Yes,
Your presence, Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Yes, I've tasted it.
Be overcome by Your presence. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Come on, church. Sing it out. Lift your hands. Sing it out.
Your hands, church, and just close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You welcome, have your way in me. Say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Touch me, change me, fill me, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you in this place. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. I pray that you touch every life, that you touch every heart in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Will you do that? Come on, give him a big hand of praise today. Give him a shout today. Hallelujah. Get excited today. Jesus is worthy. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in church today. I'm glad to be in church today. I'm happy about it. I'm happy to be praising God. I'm telling you, once you have experienced the presence of the Lord, nothing else will ever satisfy. You might as well give up right now. Once you've tasted the presence of the Lord, nothing else will satisfy. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted God's presence, let me tell you, nothing else will satisfy. We're glad you're here today. Welcome to Ascend Church today. Turn to someone and just welcome them. Give them a high five if you can. Fist bump. Welcome. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not quite sure why you seem to like the back seats, and there seems to be something up with the front seats here. The front seats are actually good. They're actually the best seats. The ones at the front are actually the best seats. And you're allowed to sit here. You don't have to sit at the back. I took a shower today. I put on some of my fancy cologne. I save it for Sunday. My fancy cologne, my Bond cologne. So what I'm saying is I smell good. You don't have to stay that far back. I want to welcome everyone who's watching us online today, wherever you may be watching us from, all over the world. We're so glad you joined us today. Remember, there's four different ways that you can watch our service live, and that is firstly by going onto our website, ascendchurch.us. And secondly is by watching on our mobile app. Number three, you can watch on our YouTube channel, which is Ascend Church Jupiter. And number four, you can watch on Facebook. And we're so glad all those who are watching on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, please won't you comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Put a comment down. Share this on your feed. Share this live stream on your Facebook so that your friends can watch as well. Let's see how many shares we can get going today. And let's see how many comments we can get going today. But we're so glad that you've joined us today. And I want to welcome everyone who's here in person today. We're so glad that you are here. I'm so glad that churches are getting back and people are coming back and churches are opening. We still got some churches like in California that are being fined. There's one church out in California, they got $52,000 in fines so far. Every time they have service, they're getting fined $5,000 in California. And then, of course, we've got John MacArthur's church that he just, you know, declared we're going to have church, and the city really came against him. But I'm glad that churches are going back. I'm glad that people are going back. I believe that we're coming out of this thing in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe that too? Amen. So we're so glad you're here today. We truly are. Remember that we have Spanish translation. If you want to watch, if you want to listen to this live stream in Spanish, you'd have to go onto our website or our mobile app. There's an option to listen to the Spanish translation. If you're sitting here today and you want to hear the Spanish translation, just raise your hand. One of our wonderful ushers will give you a little card. It'll explain how to access our Spanish translation. All you need is a smartphone and a headset, and you can listen to the Spanish translation. Don't forget that. The reason I keep mentioning that is because I believe that God has called us to reach. There's a lot of Spanish people in this area, and I believe God's called us to reach them. And one way of doing it is with the Spanish translation, because they can now hear the sermon in the Spanish language. So don't forget about that, to invite someone to church. There's no reason why you can't bring someone who only speaks Spanish now. We got that covered. And so Danny is doing translation out there. Danielle, thank you so much for doing that. I'm not preaching today. My wife's preaching today. So I'm doing her job today. We're switching today. So I'm doing the welcome, and she's just going to be preaching the word today. But praise God. How many of you know that here anyone here for the first time today? Any first-time visitors here today? Would you mind waving at me if you're a first-time guest here today? Can we give them a round of applause today? Welcome. We're so glad you're here. We have a little gift for you. Inside that little gift bag, there's a card. It says it's a guest card. Please would you fill the card out, because I would love to contact you. I'd love to find out if you enjoyed the service today. And I want to encourage you, family, invite people to church. Invite someone to come to church with you. We never close one Sunday. By the grace of God, we never close one Sunday. So invite someone to church. It's time. Say, it's time. Say, it's time that I brought someone to church with me. It is time. How many of you know what our purpose is at Ascend Church? We have four purposes. Number one, our purpose is to help people to know God. Number two, to help people to find freedom. Number three, to help you discover your purpose. And number four, to help you to make a difference in this world. That's what we are all about here at Ascend Church. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Did I forget anything? Good. Thanks for reminding me. See, that's why you do this instead of me. I want to, all those who are watching online, I want to thank everyone who's been so faithful to give online every week. We really appreciate your support. And I want to tell you, more than that, the Lord honors your giving. And if you want to give online, you can do that right now. We've got different ways of giving. Maybe you can show that real quick, the ways of giving. You can give, of course, at our website, ascendchurch.us. You can go and give there. You can also give by text giving. You can text to 833-768-6722, and you can give by text. So thank you for giving. Now, it is my honor to introduce a very special lady to me today. That is my wife. Jill's preaching today, Pastor Jill. Not only is she beautiful, not only is she an awesome wife, mother, grandmother, cook, cleaner, all those things, But she's anointed. She's a powerful preacher. And I want you to give a big welcome to Pastor Jill today.
Praise God. Well, good morning. Good morning. How wonderful to see you in church. It's a good day today, isn't it? Thank you, Rox Roy. Praise God. Well, I always kind of, on the day, I always think, what was I thinking? But I'm glad. I'm glad to be here sharing the word with you today. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad that you've joined us. You know, the word of God can transform your life, transform your marriage, change everything about your life. You know, people are looking for self-help, and sometimes I really feel for people because they're looking for help in all the wrong places. But I'll tell you, it's not just something that a preacher says. I know from experience the Word of God will change your life if you allow it to. Amen? So this morning I'm going to speak to you on the subject of an unusual citizenship. And I'm believing that this Word is going to minister to you. It's not just, Pastor Steve and I don't take this lightly. We don't come up here to sound good or try and impress anybody. We simply want to teach you principles from the Word of God that will help you in every area of your life. Amen? And we're going to pray right now. Let me look at the time, because I know somebody else is looking at the time. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this. I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. I thank you, Father, for the church, which is your idea. I thank you that the Bible says that you are the head of the church and we are your body. So we thank you, Lord, today. We don't do anything separate from you, but everything we do is draw from you. And we thank you for your anointing that just floods this place today. I pray, Father, that every spiritual ear would be open, our spiritual eyes would be open. I pray, Father, that people would concentrate, that they will not have things that will steal their concentration today, but the Word of God will be carried from my mouth into their heart and sown as seed. Father, thank you for revelation and understanding of your Word in a way that we haven't had before. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a bit of a curiosity about the Bible characters? You know, what did Adam look like? Like, was he large or was he small? You know, if you teach in kids' church ever, anybody ever taught in kids' church, get all kinds of questions. You know, did Adam have a navel? You're like, I wasn't there. I don't know. It's a good question, right? And a friend of ours, evangelist Ed Elliott, he was preaching. I've always remembered this through the years because it was so funny. He was preaching one day. He was preaching about Jeremiah the prophet. And his little son, Chase, chirped up loud in church. And he was like, Jeremiah was a prophet? I thought he was a bullfrog. I was like, we laughed so much at that. But, you know, you do wonder, what were the characters of the Bible? What did they look like? What were they like? And some of them we know. The Bible says Saul in the Old Testament, King Saul, he was described as very tall. He was head and shoulders above anyone else in Israel. So we understand that about him. We know with King David, the Bible says he was ruddy and good looking. But, you know, that kind of describes him. But what does it mean by ruddy? Does it mean he had a red face? Or did it mean he had red hair? Would we even recognize him if we met him in heaven? So there's a curiosity that I have about the Bible characters. The Bible says the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, it doesn't say much about his description of him, but I've read one interesting description from the second century that was written to a man that one of the men in the church. It was written to them and it described Paul, and I thought it was kind of interesting. It says this. It says that Paul the Apostle was a man small in size with meeting eyebrows. Can you say it? Unibrow, right? And a rather large nose, bald-headed, bow-legged, and strongly built, full of grace And this is the phrase that I like about it. It says, for at times he looked like a man, but at other times he looked like an angel. And you know, that really struck me. It meant that he was ordinary, and yet he was extraordinary. So he drifted into a crowd, but then he stood out from the crowd. There was something different about him. And I suspect that all of the Bible characters had this same thing. They were normal people, ordinary people, living in an ordinary world, but they had something extraordinary about them. You know, it's definitely true about Elijah. The Bible says in James, it says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Now, anytime a paragraph starts out where they have to actually remind you, I just want to remind you, he was a human being. Then you know something that he did was not like regular human beings, right? It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. So Elijah was an ordinary human being, but he was extraordinary at the same time, right? So Paul the Apostle, the Bible says in Acts 14, we see an account where he performed a miracle. He performed miracles, and when people saw the miracles, they wanted to worship him. But he said, don't worship me. He says, I'm an ordinary human being. In Acts 14, 15, he says, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news. So they were just ordinary human beings, but they were presenting the gospel, right? They were ordinary, yet they were extraordinary. And about the early church, in the second century, a letter was written to a man by the name of Diognetus, and it described the early Christians. It said this. It says, Christians, I think it will come up here probably, Christians are not differentiated from other people. They live in both Greek and foreign cities, wherever chance has put them. They follow local customs in clothing, food, and life, but at the same time, they demonstrate to us the wonderful and certainly unusual form of their citizenship. They are passing their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. So that's where I got my title, an unusual citizenship. You know, 2020 has been an interesting year. Anyone ever seen anything like it? It's been crazy. Now, it's not over. All kinds of good things can happen before the end of the year, but it is being crazy. And you know, the Bible says that we are party to all the problems that are in the world. Things that take place in the world, we're kind of in the middle of it, right? But Jesus said this in John 16. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, you are ordinary people, and you're going to face trouble. You're going to face difficulties. In this world, you will have troubles. Sometimes people face trouble, and they give up on God. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you? They misunderstand. So Jesus said, I need you to understand this, that there are going to be troubles in this world. But unlike people in this world, you can have peace despite the trouble. Amen? So he's saying you are ordinary, but you are extraordinary at the same time. You have an unusual citizenship. And that's what I really want to hone in today. Jesus said in John 17, just two chapters later, he's praying to the Lord about us and to the Father. And he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of it. So that's really the point right here, is that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Okay, so it should be really obvious to people that we are different. And I'm going to lead you to see what the Word of God says about this. You know, what's up? What don't you like?
I'm sorry, babe. The lights are flashing. It's so distracting. You don't see it, but it's bugging me. And the only way they can fix it is to switch everything off for 2 seconds. It's the only way we can do it. So I'm so sorry to do this to you. Please fix the problem because it's real distracting. Do whatever you have to do so we can carry on.
Catch my breath. Find my place.
Because I'm going to get my revolver out and shoot all those lights out any second. As I am carrying. I'm joking. I'll get my slingshot. All right, are we good now? Because it's still light. This light's still on.
That's okay. I'll wait till it's done. The one time I was speaking, and someone was sitting on the front row, and I was kind of looking over their head, and afterwards they're like, why didn't you look at me? Because I had the microphone on, I had an earring, and it was swinging against, and it was going ding, 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 and I couldn't hear anything, and he had, take your earring off. He had a big sign on his lap showing me, take your, I was like, sorry, didn't look down. We ready? Good. One moment. I'm going to talk anyway. Right? And go. Because I wanted to just us to understand that when the Bible says when you and I became Christians, we were moved from one kingdom to another kingdom, right? And so, somebody's falling asleep. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So when we became Christians, we were in one kingdom. I want us to see what the Word is saying about us. And that's the kingdom of darkness. That's where we were blind. We were spiritually dead. And then it says, but God took us from that kingdom and he translated us. He moved us into another kingdom with another king. So we've been moved. So Christianity is not just a change of values. It's not just a behavior modification, right? Christianity is a change of kingdoms. It's a change of kingdoms. It's a change of king. And what does it mean to be part of God's kingdom? I'll tell you this. It says, as believers, we live in two spheres simultaneously. So yes, we are in the world, but we live as citizens of heaven, right? So we know that that is our primary citizenship, even though we're in the world, okay? So when we, to become a citizen, the Bible says to become a citizen of heaven, it's really simple. We have to be born again. Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at night and he was like, I need to understand this. And Jesus said very simply in John 3 verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that is how we become citizens of heaven. So he explained to him, he said, Nicodemus, let me tell you this. When you're born of your mother, you become a citizen of this earth. But when you're born again, you become a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom of God. Psalm 87 verse 6 says this, when he counts her citizens, recording them in his registry, he'll write by their name, this one was born again here. So there's a registry of our names. The Bible says our names are written in heaven. When you are born again, you are written down as registered in heaven. Amen. Hebrews 12 verse 23, as members of the church of the firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. Amen. Ephesians 2 verse 19, I want you to see what the Bible says because it is clearly put, we do not belong to this world. We are ordinary yet extraordinary. We are human beings. Yes, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Now, Paul writes along the lines of this subject to the church in Philippi. And in Philippians 4, 3 verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's another translation, the Moffat translation says, but we are a colony of heaven. We wait for the Savior who comes from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I like the way that James Moffat, when he paraphrased this and he said a colony of heaven, I think we can get a better picture of what he's talking about. Because a colony is an extension or an outpost of one culture that is in the midst of another culture. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so for Christians, heaven is our homeland, our dominant culture, but temporarily we are residents of the earth. And sometimes it's a hostile world, right? But as citizens of heaven, we are members of a heavenly colony. That's why church is so important, family. Community is so important. Having a church family is so important because we are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? So in this heavenly colony, we continually seek to present and preserve the culture of heaven in the midst of an unholy culture of earth, right? And so I really love this. I read this about Philippi. And when you understand the historical background, I think you'll get why this mattered to them so much, why they could really get it. Because Paul, when he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, he was a prisoner in Rome. And he referred to them as citizens of heaven. He referred to them as a colony. But what you really have to understand is that the Roman Empire at the time, the Roman Empire established colony cities all over, in key locations, all over the earth. And in those communities, they were devoted to Rome. They promoted Rome. They preserved and protected her interests in every way. So they were in another place, but because they were a Roman colony, everything felt like Rome in that colony, right? Everything, the dress, the food, the values, everything was distinctly Roman. So Philippi was a Roman colony. So when they preached and they said, Paul said, you're a colony of heaven, they got it. They understood this. They knew that they were citizens of heaven, but they were just a colony on earth, and they knew what that would feel like, right? It meant that no matter what the circumstances, what does that mean to me? It means that no matter what the circumstances that were going on around them, or no matter what the conditions of the world around them, no matter what was going on in their daily life, that their character, their conduct, their expectancy was not based on what was going on around them, but it was all related to the kingdom that they came from, right? That's what's really important. And Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And you know, it's not heaven. I think before I was born again, I kind of thought if you talked about heaven, it was just there. It was when you die, it's up there in the clouds. But Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven. And it's really important for us to know the promises of God that are contained in the word of God that relate to the kingdom of heaven, because they are for us now. These are the things for us now. They're for us today as citizens. We need to know the rights, the privileges, the benefits of God's kingdom, of being in his kingdom. Amen. You know, for example, our authority as a believer is linked to our citizenship in heaven, right? Although we reside in a foreign land, this world, The government of the kingdom that sent us backs us completely. So we're not worried about this world because the government there backs us up. That's why we can have authority to use, speak the name of Jesus, and God backs us up. Isn't that right? And so anytime we can call upon him, Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 19, he said, now you understand that I have imparted to you, say, he's imparted to me, all authority to trample over his kingdom, over the devil's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. So that's very specific. He's saying there's something available to you that's not available to other people because I'm going to back you up. And even though you're in this world's kingdom, you're going to be able to take authority over things that happen right out there, right? So understanding the kingdom of God will transform your life. It'll renew our minds, so change our thinking. So we don't think, we don't conform our mind to just whatever the world thinks, that's what we think. Whatever they say, yeah, that's what goes. No, we are thinking the way God's thinking. We've got to keep coming back. And let me tell you, you need more than Sunday morning for 30 minutes of the word to get your mind conformed to God's word, right? This world system is lack, it's poverty, it's sickness, it's defeat. That's what you'll hear all the time. And you've got to be continually looking at the promises of God's word in order to change and begin to think like that, right? Like think like God thinks. Have you ever heard the term commonwealth? Commonwealth, that means the wealth of the king is common to his citizens. That means that when you have a commonwealth, it is that everybody is benefited by it. Everybody gets. Do you know that we are a commonwealth? Everything that the king has is common to his people. So the Bible says that he will supply our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? That is part of the commonwealth. So we've got to focus on the kingdom. We've got to learn our citizenship rights. Do you know that there are rights and privileges of a citizen? Have you got that picture, Dan? I was helping Nadine out. Our daughter Nadine is an ICU, pediatric ICU nurse, and she works these 14-hour days. And she's home for a couple of days, and she's doing some virtual schooling with her first grader. Shout out to all the parents and the kids trying to figure out virtual schooling this week, right? And so I was helping Brady, and it was social studies. And I saw in his book, he had this, and it says, every citizen has responsibilities, things that every citizen should do, and rights, things that every citizen should be free to do or have. So there are rights and privileges available to you as citizens. Do you know the Bible says that the lack of knowledge destroys us? There's so many believers that just don't know what is promised to them in the Word of God. And if you don't know, you can never claim it. You can never walk in it. You can never know it belongs to you, right? But you've got to know it. James 2, verse 5 says this. Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world's down and outs as kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. Come on, he takes the down and outs in this world, puts us, makes us his children, and gives us full rights. Some people think I'm not worthy if I'm prayed more, if I didn't, you know, fall so often. You have full rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. Family, that means that whatever the Bible promises is yours now, right? It is yours right now. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. So all the promises God has made are yes to us if we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, his promises are just yes. Don't worry about are they yes or no. They are yes if you are in Christ. All we have to do is receive it, and we've got to say amen. So be it to me. So be it to me. The promises of God are yes towards us. Now, there are, as I showed you on Brady's very amazing picture, that there are rights and privileges of citizens, but then there are also responsibilities of citizens, right? Romans 13 says, and this is writing to people about their citizenship on earth, but it says, fulfill your obligations as a citizen. So I think that if God expects us to fulfill our earthly obligations as citizens, then he would expect us to fulfill our as citizens of heaven, we have obligations as well. Anybody agree with that? Philippians 1 verse 27 says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So our conduct is part of our responsibility, right? It's got to line up with what God's word says. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf, turn back to God and be reconciled to him. So as ambassadors, that we are diplomatic agents of the highest rank. Come on, there's no lowly citizens in heaven. God is like, he's empowered us as diplomats of the highest rank. And we are meant to be spreading the good news about Jesus. We're supposed to say, be reconciled to God. God's a good God. God wants to hear your answer your prayer. God wants to help you in your marriage. God wants to help you with your kids. We should be representing him at all times. That's one of our responsibilities. Don't wait. Don't think, well, I hope the pastor does this and I hope the evangelist does that. No, we are ambassadors, every one of us. You go into a world that I'll never go into. You have people that will listen to you that will never listen to a preacher. So we are ambassadors. That's part of our responsibility. So as a family, as citizens of heaven, we can't just claim all the rights and privileges and ignore the responsibilities. Amen? We love the rights and privileges. We like, pray for me, Lord. Tell me what, Pastor Steve, tell me all the good things God's going to do for me. Wonderful. That's half of it. What am I going to do for the Lord? How am I going to let people see that I'm different? I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. You know, we seek to obey the word of God. Now, we're not perfect. We all fall down. We make mistakes. We just get up again and we keep going, right? There's a grace of God that will help us as we grow. Matthew 5 verse 13 says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, do you know that salt is in something, but it's not of it? So salt is in meat, but it's not corrupted by the meat. Brady, our little grandson, who I told the others, if you don't want him to be my favorite, you should live closer to me because he's always with me. But no, we love them all the same. But he's first grade and he's a real picky eater. I don't know where he got it from. It might have been from his mom, who might have got it from her dad. But the three of them are like three peas in a pod. I don't eat this and I don't eat that. Anyway, I try to get him, Pastor Steve does eat ketchup. I try to get Brady to try some ketchup. And I said, Brady, you know sauce is actually good with food. And he said, the only sauce I want is salt. Salt makes everything taste better. So I was like, well, it's not really a sauce, but you can have salt, right? So salt is in something, but it's not of that. So it keeps the meat pure And it's the same with us. When Jesus said we are the salt of the earth, we are here to make a difference. The world should taste different. It should smell different. It should last differently. There should be something different because you are in the world. That is what the church is. The church is salt and light. Amen? We've got to be different. So when we are salt and light, we show God's character to the world. We show it in our lifestyle. We show it in our words. We show it in how we believe. And when we are become Christians and we give our lives to Jesus, we moved into his kingdom, but we're still in this world. Hence 2020, right? Doesn't feel so good, right? We're still in this world. We're still party to the problems and the troubles in this world. And there's a lot of people that are watching today and you've had difficulties. Maybe you've lost a job or you've had income go down. Or I know there's people in this room that have had tragedies, that have had hard things happen to them in this life. Hard things. There are difficulties that we have that we won't have when we're in heaven. But because we are on the earth, we are party to something on the earth. And so you might be wondering, how am I different to the world? How does this make me different? And the Bible makes it very, very clear that you are different and that you are going to be treated differently by God. And, the Bible says that the Old Testament, the first half of your Bible, the Old Testament was given as an example for us. So there's many things we read in there that teach us about the character of God, and they give us some principles that we really can apply to our life today. And so I just want to take one story. I won't take long about it. I'll just paraphrase a lot of it. But there's a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and it really shows us how we are treated differently by God. And I want you to remember this. In Genesis, we read the account of Jacob and all his sons. And so they lived in the land of Canaan, and their sons got into a big argument, like sons sometimes do, but theirs got kind of bad, and they really took it all out on Joseph. And what happened was they sold Joseph into slavery and told his dad that he was killed. So for 13 years, Joseph was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was mistreated, and he lands up in Egypt. And all through those years and through a whole lot of events, and if you want to read something that's better than any soap opera you ever watched, read the book of Genesis and you'll see all the things that go on in families. And so he lands up in Egypt and he rises through a series of events to a position of prominence. And at the same time, he has Joseph in Egypt, he rises to this position of prominence. And in Canaan, meanwhile, there's a drought. And that's where his father is, and that's where his brothers are. So Jacob and his children, they travel to Egypt to look for food. And while they're there, they meet Joseph, their exiled brother. And they cared for him, and they get food, right? And so what I want you to see is they came, they went to Egypt to escape the famine. And when they got to Egypt, they were settled in a land called Goshen. Say Goshen. Right? So Goshen was in Egypt, but it wasn't of Egypt. It wasn't Egypt, but it was in Egypt, right? So the similarity is there with us as citizens in this world today. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in a kingdom, but we're not in the kingdoms of this world, right? So they were in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. There was a difference. So years later, when Moses is leading the people and all these plagues hit the entire region of Egypt, do you know they didn't hit Goshen? Do you know that? Goshen was where God's people were. They were protected. They were ordinary people going through the same things that were going on in the world, but they were different. That's what we got to see. Exodus 8:22. Says, but on that day, that's the day that the plagues hit, when the difficulties came, I will deal differently. This is what God says. I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. The sign will occur tomorrow. So in other words, where plagues come and troubles come and pandemics come and tragedies come, God made a distinction between his people and the world. Okay? So I want to give you three things that I see from this story. There's a distinction, family. Don't ever feel like, oh, what's different? What is it worth serving? I get tired when I hear people say that one bad thing goes wrong in their life and they're like, that's it, I give up. I'm never going back to church. I heard somebody say, you know, someone said, are you going to church anyway? You're serving the Lord? Well, when God does something for me, then maybe I'll get back. I'm like, get over yourself, right? Let me tell you that things are going to happen to us, but we better know that God is going to deal differently. And God's the one who has the scales of justice, right? And he can make it up to you. Amen. Let me give you three things from the story. First of all, God had a plan for his people. Do you know that it was a bigger plan than they understood, right? We can't see into the future. God sees it from the top. He sees the beginning from the end. So there was a big plan, bigger than they understood. And in Genesis 45, Joseph said to his brothers, God sent me ahead of you, right? They thought they were just selling him into slavery. Let's get rid of this one. We don't like this one. But actually, in the bigger picture, they were sending him on ahead to a position where he could provide for them in the future. There was a plan that God had. So let me encourage you today that God has a plan for your life. Come on, God has a plan for you that's bigger than you can imagine. You're looking and you're trying to understand sometimes the things that go on, and this person moves out of your life, and this one, and this door closes, and you don't get it that there's a bigger plan than what you can see. But God is dealing differently with you than he's dealing with the world. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, "plans to prosper you." Come on, prosper you. That means that if I lose my job, you know what? God's going to make another way because he's got plans to prosper me, right? And so and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Many times people go through things and they feel hopeless. But God has hope for you and he has a future. So that's what we cling to, because God has a plan. We got to know that He's bigger. He sees more than what we see. That's where trust comes in. Amen? Yeah. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, according to the purpose of his will." God has a plan. So you may not know what's going on this year, and I can't say that I do either, but I know God's got a plan. And I know it'll work out for my good, right? He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He's going to make a distinction because we are citizens. We have an unusual citizenship in heaven. Second of all, I see in there that God has a place for his people. He said in Genesis 47, Pharaoh said to Jacob and his family, "Come and settle in Goshen." That's the best part of the land. That's where God wanted him to be. God had a place for them. It wasn't just for Jacob. It wasn't just for Jacob and his sons. It was for their wives, for their children, for their servants, for their flocks. God had a place. And then for millions of people later, and this is what the Bible says about you and I. It says in 1 Corinthians, "Now you are the body of Christ." Say, "I am the body of Christ." And each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church. Say, God places in the church. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. It's a whole list of all the different places in the church. So God has placed you and I in the church for today. So for me, going to church is not an option. It's not an option. Because I'm part of this community that's the family of God. Just like he's like, go settle in Goshen. There's a good place for you. Get together there. There's going to be something different about you that's there. So for me, church is where I have found a place where I fit. I got saved at 15 in a non-church-going family who remained a non-church-going family for many years, but I found a place that fit. And there was something different because I was now a citizen of heaven, right? And so there's a place. And God has chosen you and I. He's given you gifts. He's given me gifts. I'm not trying to be you, and you don't try to be me, but we just find our place. We just find our place. And when we do that, that's when things work the way they're supposed to do, right? So let me encourage you, not only does God have a great plan for you, he has a place for you. And you got to look for a place of service, but then also God has promises for you, right? And God has a promise. Let me quickly get to my verse. Exodus 8, verse 22, he says, "But on that day, I will deal differently with you." I want to encourage you that God deals differently with you. So when you see something happening, it happened, the guy next to you got fired, and these things, it's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for me because God's watching out for me. So there's anxiety, there's disease, there's division. It puts tremendous pressure on all of us, but we've got to remember that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, okay? In this world, we still have peace, and God has a promise for you. Amen? Pastor, I'm watching the time. Finish up. Good. I'm willing to stop when you say stop. Maybe. Philippians 4, verse 19. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply your needs from his glorious riches." So remember, it's coming out of there. This is the kingdom that we're working off of. We're not working off of the kingdoms of men, right? We're looking to the kingdoms of heaven, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So there's a promise of provision. So God has a place for us, and he has a promise for us. There's a promise of provision even in tough times. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." There's a promise of protection even in troubled times, right? Don't think, oh, well, because this one's having this happen to them and that one's having that. It's going to be different for me. It's going to be different. Don't feel embarrassed to say it's going to be different for me. Because I'm not, just say it. Say it's going to be different for me. Say God's making a distinction with me. Amen. So you can trust God to protect you in this time. No matter what's going on in the world, God wants to protect you. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. In the story of Joseph, this same story, Joseph said to his brothers, "You shall live in the region of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have." And you can believe God to protect not just you. Let me tell you, I just spread it out. I'm like, protect me, protect my children, protect my church, protect my possessions, protect my house, my dog, just everything. You can believe God, right? But the name Goshen actually means to draw near. So Joseph said to his brothers, "I want you to draw near, and you will find provision, and you will find protection." So really important in these kind of times where we face difficult things, don't draw away from God, draw near to God. Draw near to God. That's where your help comes from, let me tell you. So when they moved to Goshen, they were connecting themselves with the plan of God. They weren't disconnecting. I want to encourage you, it's easy to feel disconnected, especially for people that are sitting at home, for people that have been out of church for a long time. Draw near to God. You may have to make more of an effort than, it's kind of easy when you're in church, right? And everybody goes, amen, and you kind of feel it, right? You're sitting in your lounge, you don't always feel it, but we got to draw near. The Bible says, you know, you're as near to God as you want to be. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, "Come near to God and he'll come near to you." Sounds like we're going to make the first move, right? So use this difficult time to draw near to God. Second of all, they drew near to community. When he says draw near, Genesis 45:10, he says, "You shall live in the region of Goshen near me." So there was a community. A lot of people, maybe you're stuck at home, but even what you're doing today, if you're leaning in to draw near to a community of believers, even if you're doing it from your home, it's not a time to pull away. People are becoming disconnected. Pastor Theo said this. He said, the only problem with not going to church is you're not going to want to go to church, right? Because you can become disconnected. So don't do that. Keep drawing close to community. Talk to other believers. Stir each other up. Encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25 says, not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now, if you can get here, get here. If you're watching online, meet with us that way, right? Do exactly what you're doing. Just stay connected. Stay connected. That was really important. God said, I want you all in one place, right? In Goshen, he's like, draw near to me, draw near to one another. And Genesis 47:27, now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and they were fruitful and they increased greatly in number. So I want to tell you that God has a plan for you. He has a plan to increase you. He's got a plan of fruitfulness. So don't be shaken when you see things go on in the world. Don't be shaken when everything looks like, oh, my whole industry's going down and this is never going to be the same. Don't worry. God's got another plan. God can make a way, right? We have an unusual citizenship where God makes a distinction with us, and he will treat us differently. And if that's all you hear today, I want you to know that you may be ordinary, but you are extraordinary. You may be in this world, and you may be subject to some of the troubles in the world, but you're not of this world. You're of another kingdom. Amen? And that God's going to deal differently with you, and he's going to make a distinction with you. Amen? Praise God.
Thank you. Great job, babe. That was really good. Really good. Amen. Great job. I love that. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I love the fact what Pastor Joe was saying, that as a citizen of heaven, God treats you differently. And you know, you read Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 91, and the psalmist said, 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. You see, when you live in this world from the perspective that I may be in this world, but I'm not of this world, I'm not controlled by this world, I'm not subject to this world, I'm living by the principles of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven, and I have divine protection, and I have divine provision, and I have authority, it changes the way you live. It changes the way you live. And you know, Jesus said this in John 17, in verse number 18. Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Jesus said that he came from heaven and he came to this world with a mission. What was Jesus' mission? He said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So Jesus came from heaven with a mission to seek and save the lost. And he said, the same way you gave me a mission, Father, I'm giving them a mission. What's our mission? Our mission is the same thing. We're here as representatives and ambassadors of heaven to reach out and seek and save people who don't know Christ. The Bible says in Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. It says that they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle snakes. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as citizens and ambassadors of heaven. We have a mission in the earth. I mean, the Blues Brothers, they knew it. They said, we're on a mission from God. What's our mission from God? They were putting the band back together. We're on a mission from God, and that is to seek and save lost people. We're on a mission from God to tell the good news to everybody that we meet. We're not here to be secret agents. We don't want any secret agents. No 007s. I'm a believer, but shh. Nobody knows about it. It's a secret. Everybody should know what you believe. Everybody should know. They should see the joy of the Lord coming out of you. They should see the peace of God on you when everybody else is panicking and you're all calm and you're all peaceful. They're like, why are you so peaceful? Because I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I am operating on a higher principle. The angels of God protecting me and the Lord is my healer. We are here to declare. That's good news. Isn't it? Say, I'm an ambassador. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm on a mission from God. That is to seek and save lost people. Come on. I'm on a mission. Say, I'm on a mission. Say, I'm on a mission. And that's to bring people to church every Sunday. Oh, we kind of tape it off a little bit there. Well, I'm on a mission. That is the mission, family. That's the mission. That's what we're, if you want it, Jesus is coming back. I spoke last week, Jesus is coming back. You know what he's waiting for? He's trying to get as many people saved as he can. He's waiting for as many people to be saved as he can. He's waiting for us. So get out there, citizens of heaven, ambassadors of God, do the mission God has called us to. It's a tremendous privilege. It's a tremendous honor. We are to, I love the one scripture really for me that stood out was live as citizens of heaven, understanding your rights and your privileges. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jill. What a great word from you this morning. Powerful. I'm going to ask you before we close, why don't you just bow your head for a moment? Nobody move. Nobody leave, please. Just for the next couple of minutes, while your head is bowed, while your eyes are closed, let me tell you right now, if you've never received Jesus in your life, if you've never become a citizen of heaven, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, today is your day. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with God. I'm not sure if all is right or if all is well between me and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you're absolutely certain if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, are you sure? Are you certain what would happen to you if you died today? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure. You can know. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. And every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity. You can know your name is written down in the book of life. You can know you are a citizen of heaven. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, if while eyes are closed and while heads are bowed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, please, won't you just slip your hand up? Just lift your hand up right now. Put it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Just put it up right now. It'll never be any easier. Just lift your hand. Say, yes, I want to make sure. I want to know everything is right between me and God. Thank you for lifting your hand. I'm going to ask you to please say this prayer. The scripture says here in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you become a citizen of heaven. That's how you get your name written down in the book of life, is by believing Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he is alive, and confessing him to be, making him Lord of your life. That's how you get saved. If you're watching this online, say this prayer with us. Everybody say, dear God, everybody, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to come to this earth, to take my sin, to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said, if I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. Say, I believe in my heart
Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say, I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. Say this, say, from today, I'm going to live for you, Jesus. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. Say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. My name is written down in the book of life. Amen. And everybody agreed, said amen. Praise God. God bless you today. All those who said that prayer, made that decision, before you leave, I want you to just remain where you, if you lifted your hand for that prayer, just remain seated for a few minutes when we close. We have a gift we want to give you. Before we go today, how many of you know we want to honor and give to the Lord today? When I was listening to Pastor Jill's message, this scripture came to my heart when I thought about giving. Are you listening to me this morning? Don't go home on me now. Don't make me lock the doors and keep you here till Mark chapter 12. This story came to my mind. They sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they had come, they said, Teacher, we know that you are true and that you care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men. But you teach the way of God in truth. They said, Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius and that I may see it. So they brought a denarius, which was a form of currency, a coin. And he said to them, Whose image and whose inscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And I thought about this, family. Do you know that as citizens of America, we have certain rights and we have certain privileges as citizens of America. We also have certain responsibility. One of the things you have to do as a citizen of America, when you're working, you have to pay taxes. Now, to pay those taxes, you get certain benefits. Driving here today, you were able to get on the freeway instead of riding on a dirt road. Taxes paid for that. Going to a hospital, schools, all these different things. That's the benefits of paying taxes. And we are citizens of America, and as citizens of America, we pay taxes. But you, citizen of heaven, and do you know that Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Let me ask you that question. He said, give back to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Leviticus 27 verse 30 tells us, it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. All the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Amen. The New Living Translation says like this, one-tenth. Because the tithe means 10%. So 10%, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. Now let me tell you, as a citizen of heaven, one-tenth of everything that I receive belongs unto God. And God, and Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've been robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground.
Nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Now, what that is all telling us, family, is that as citizens of America, you have rights and benefits as a citizen of America. You can be in a foreign nation and get in trouble. And where do you go? The American embassy. You can be in Africa. And if you get in trouble in Africa, where are you going to go, Steve? As an American, you're going to the American embassy. Why? Because they're going to help you. Well, they're supposed to, right? Well, let me tell you right now, as believers, we're citizens of heaven. And we have certain rights and privileges as citizens of heaven. But we also have certain responsibilities, like Pastor Jill was saying earlier. And one of our responsibilities is to give to God what belongs to God. And God says one-tenth, the first 10% of every dollar you get is His. Now, you got a choice. You don't have to give it to God. You don't have to bring it to Him. But if you'll obey Him, then the rights and privileges of the kingdom will operate in your life. But if you disobey Him, the Bible says you'll bring yourself under a curse. I want to walk in the blessings of God. I don't want to walk in the curse. I want to walk in the blessings. How about you? I'm going to give to God what belongs to God. In fact, it's a joy for me to give 10% of everything God. I'm so thankful for everything. God has been so good to me. Hasn't the Lord been good to you? I'm so thankful that it is an honor and a joy for me to return and give back to God. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. And I'm not going to steal from God. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm a citizen of heaven, and I have rights and privileges and responsibilities. And thank God when I fulfill that responsibility, when I honor God, doesn't matter what's going on around me, God will provide for me. God will protect me. God will heal me. God, He'll lead me. He'll guide me. He's with me. I don't have to fear. He provides every need when you honor Him. Can you say amen? So I want you to get ready today. We're going to honor the Lord. I want to thank all of our faithful givers, all of our faithful tithers. I want you to know I'm believing God for you that the best is yet to come. I'm believing God for you that 2020 is going to be a great year for you. I don't care what has happened. I'm believing this is going to be a great year, 2020. It ain't over yet. We still got a few months, and I believe God can do great things in the last 4 months. He can take what the enemy meant for our harm and turn it around to our advantage. How many of you believe that? Let me tell you, God can make up in a moment what you lost in a year. God can make up in a day what you lost in a year. Don't you dare let go of your faith in God. Don't you dare write off to 2020 and say, well, let's just wait for next year. Hey, it ain't over yet. And I ain't heard any fat lady sing yet. And I'm believing God that this is going to be a great year for me. Going to be a great year for you. Going to be a great year for this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get ready. We're going to give to the Lord today. Thank you all those giving online. As you know, you can give at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text. You can give by using the envelope. I want you to hold it in your hand. Ushers, are you ready, ushers? Where are the ushers at today? Wave at me. The ushers, I see one waving. There's another wave. I see two waving. Three, four. Okay. Are you ready to give? If you're ready to give, say amen. If you're not ready, you need more time, say oh me. All right, the amens, we're ready. Father, I thank you for every person who's giving today. I thank you for every faithful tither. Lord, I thank you that as we give to you what belongs to you, you said you'd open the windows of heaven. You said you'd pour blessing on us that we can't receive. You said you'd rebuke the devourer. You said you'd protect us. You said that our vines would not fail. You said that everyone would recognize and declare you are a blessed, delightful land. Lord, I thank you for blessing your people. I thank you for providing for us. I thank you for giving us favor and opening doors, Lord, that no man can close. I thank you, Lord, that your favor can restore in a moment what we lost in a year. I thank you for bringing restoration, Father, for supplying every need in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen and amen. Ushers, thank you. Go right ahead. I want to thank everybody who came to prayer before service this morning. We had an awesome time of prayer. We pray from 9:15 to 9:45 every Sunday upstairs in the conference room. Come join us.
I'm especially appealing to the men. I believe we have mighty men of God in this church who know how to pray, who know how to believe God. Men, come and pray with us. Let's rise up and be men of God, champions for God. We pray every Sunday before service. Amen. I'm glad I came to church today. How about you? You get something out of this today? I think Pastor Jill needs to preach more often. When's the last time you preached? It's been a while, right? It's kind of hard for me to give it up, but you did an awesome job today. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Invite someone to church. Take an invite card as you walk out today. Grab some invite cards. Invite someone next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next